So then specifically in ROS1 right now, today, what's your usual sequence? And in particular, what kind of targeted therapy to use beyond crizotinib?
So when I have a patient who's newly diagnosed with ROS1, I still talk with them about chemo because I've had some fabulous responses with carboplatin and pemetrexed. I have a couple of patients who did so well that they had minimal residual disease. We were able to do radiation, and I've now got two I can think of off the top of my head who haven't been on any treatment at all for over a year, despite having stage four disease. So it's hard to forget about those, right?
Just to be clear, though, are you saying, though, that ROS1 is more sensitive to chemotherapy specifically?
Specifically pemetrexed, yes.
Because I've heard that with ALK, right?
I think it's even more so with ROS1.
Wow.
So we published on that. It's a small series. You know, I can't give you all the like scientific research behind it, but it's just a clinical observation that we've seen and I've heard repeated by others also. So I still think about that. It's not 100%. There's not 100% response rate, but it's pretty good and some of those responses are striking. But we also have the crizotinib approval. I think crizotinib is a very active drug in ROS1. It's not like EGFR where your responses go on and on and on. It's maybe a little better than ALK, but it's going to work for the time it's going to work. And unfortunately, without this as much brain activity, has some, but it's not as good in the brain. I think we've now seen some data from a Korean trial with ceritinib and ROS1, where that also looks to be active as a first-line TKI. I wouldn't recommend going from crizotinib to ceritinib the way we do in ALK. I don't think that response rate's the same that we have with the ALK story, but I think ceritinib's a reasonable thing to think about instead of crizotinib for ROS1 patients. Again, it's only phase two. We need more data, but it was encouraging. I have been impressed with the cabozantinib data in ROS1. So there's very little in the literature. We're working to get our case series written up because we've been able to use it in a number of patients with some very good responses, some quite durable. I think the lorlatinib data is looking quite good also, and hopefully that drug's going to be more readily available fairly soon for the ROS1 patients.
Lorlatinib?
Lorlatinib, yeah.
Is that an ALK drug or what is it primarily?
So it's being developed primarily as an ALK inhibitor for patients who have been previously treated with other ALK inhibitors, and there were some nice updates at ASCO this year about it. They didn't present the ROS1 subset at ASCO this year, but they presented some of it last year, and it's looking encouraging. So that's a promising agent also. There are a lot of the other ALK drugs that also have ROS1 activity, and there are some that don't. Like alectinib does not have ROS1 activity. So I think we need to be careful that we can't think of all ALK drugs as also being ROS1 drugs, but some ALK drugs are also ROS1 drugs. And so, you know, there's more we're learning there because it's a smaller subset, so there hasn't been as much research. And then, like I said, chemo works. We don't know about the immune-targeted drugs very much. The only molecular driver subset that we really have enough data to say anything is with EGFR, where we know that the response rates are relatively low, like probably less than 5%. We don't know as much about it in ALK. The suspicion is it's going to be perhaps even lower than that. We don't know much about ROS, though probably also fairly low. So there's a lot we still need to know about ROS.
I think Memorial presented some data, though, on exon 14 and checkpoint inhibitors, suggesting it was kind of like EGFR.
So the MET exon 14?
Right.
Yes, they did present that. I have one patient who was on a atezolizumab clinical trial, so she's been on it for, I think, was over 2 years.
Wow.
And when she progressed and we needed to move on to something else, we went back and retested her tissue because we had never come up with a definitive driver mutation. And she ended up having MET exon 14 skip mutation. So I just started her on crizotinib. We'll wait and see how she's doing with that. But she was on atezolizumab for an extended period with clear disease control. So, like all things, there are always going to be exceptions to these rules. I think there's more we need to know about the checkpoint responses with most of our driver mutations. But we need to look, and if you do find the driver mutation, that's probably more relevant for the patient than the PD-L1 expression.